Today on Mr. Media, I'll welcome author and internet entrepreneur Guy Kawasaki back to the show. His new book, Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. Stick around. There's no one more enchanting than this guy. So much media, so little time.
Yeah.
Who keeps track of it all?
Not me.
No, that would be me, Guy.
Yeah.
This is Bob Adelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 700 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of titles, including today's top entrepreneurial bestsellers by my guest, Guy Kawasaki, including Enchantment, The Art of the Start, How to Drive Your Competition Crazy, or my personal favorite, Reality Check. In fact, listen to this excerpt from Reality Check, written by Guy Kawasaki and read by Paul Bomer.
Guy is craven enough that he doesn't really care whether I read his book or not. As he put it to me, all he wants is a famous name to put on the cover, and pretty much everyone else turned him down, and so he had to resort to calling me, and so, fine. I let him beg a little bit, and then I made him do some humiliating things like stand on one leg for half an hour and jump up and down and make strange noises, and then I said, okay, okay, enough already, you total freak. I'll write you something. So this is it. My official endorsement. Reality Check is by far the best book ever written about the Valley. It's an important and necessary work, one that should be required reading in every business school in the country. I wish this book had been around when I was starting Apple in my garage back in 1976. I'm sure I wouldn't have read it, but still it would have been nice if it had been around back then to help out all those other people who wanted to start companies but couldn't figure out some of the more subtle aspects of business. Like the fact that you need to charge more money for your products than it costs you to make them. That's a really super important lesson.
You could also download The Profiler, written by famed criminal profiler Pat Brown and yours truly, which Pat will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience that thinks Guy Kawasaki is still being paid to be the chief evangelist for Apple when, in fact, he's been doing it for free for years. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I defy you to pick any page in a Guy Kawasaki book, any page at all, and not come away a little smarter, a little more inspired, or at least a little entertained. And that's setting the bar pretty low. I found often that there's too much of a takeaway when I read one of his books, particularly the last two, Reality Check and the latest, Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. Now, his wife might think that he needs to take out the garbage or otherwise help around the house more often. But as a reader and a fan, I think Kawasaki does too much already. Frankly, he's making the rest of us look lazy based on his productivity. Now, there are the books, 10 and counting, the businesses, including AllTop.com, the keynote speaking engagements, the blog for American Express, and his founding partnership in Garage Technology Ventures. Enough already, Guy. Enough. He still speaks so highly of Apple, where he rose to fame as its chief evangelist more than 24 years ago, that many people think he's still on the payroll. And he's not doing much to dissuade anybody by having Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak quoted on the front cover saying, read this book cover to cover. Read this book to create a company as enchanting as Apple. There it is, right there. And it doesn't even say Steve Wozniak, it says Woz. So you know that these two have something going on where they're, you know, you get the sense that there's still a connection there. Anyway, in Enchantment, Kawasaki dissects Enchantment like A high school student would a frog. He makes it clear that a concept that may seem ephemeral to many is actually quite easily studied, learned, and duplicated. You just need the desire to start. And with that, Guy Kawasaki, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's quite the introduction.
Well, you know, you put in your dollar, you get a dollar's worth, right?
That was a $1.10.
You're kind. And it really is nice to have you back. Last time we did audio only. This time we have you for video. It's good to actually see you this time.
We're so hip, man.
Now, I'm a little concerned, though. I just noticed over your shoulder there's actually a stack of these books.
Yeah.
You can't sell them? You can't give them away? I mean, if we tilt the screen a little bit, are we going to see even more of them? What's the deal, Guy?
No, I send out a lot of autographed copies, so I need a stack of them where I can just reach back and grab one.
Oh, here. You know what? Let me give you mine. Could you sign this one for me?
Actually, I have a way for people to get them signed. I have a website where people just give me their address, and I sign the cover, and I send just the cover. Yeah, I sign the cover, not the inside of the book.
Oh, okay. But so it's not iteleport.com?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, listen, I got to ask you something before we really get into the meat of the book. I dog-ear the heck out of your books, and it occurred to me, whose books do you dog-ear?
You know, I very seldom read nonfiction.
Really?
Yeah. The only time I read nonfiction is when I am actually writing a book, because then I have to read all the competition. And so I'll show you some.
He went that away, folks.
Yeah. So I'll be back. So, you know, these are some of the books that I read to write Enchantment.
Okay.
So this is a book called Influence, and you can see the dog ears there, or the post this. This is Sway. This is by my friends Chip and Dan Heath. This is a book called Switch. And a book that really influenced me, though there's no dog ears in this one, is this book, Psychology of Influence by Bob Cialdini.
You know what? We have him in common. He helped me on my second book, Why Men Watch Football.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, the very interesting thing about him is arguably my book, Enchantment, competes with his book, Influence, but he has just bent over backwards to help me. He gave me a blurb. He has sold my book on his website. He's really a mensch. Although he's Italian, he really has helped me a lot. I was truly amazed at how generous he was.
Well, I know it's funny. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but I wrote Why Men Watch Football back in 1993. You know, he couldn't have been promoting my book on the internet then. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize at the time how highly regarded he was until after the book came out. And then it was like, yeah, how did I get so much of his time to do this? I mean, he's quite a guy.
And his wife is even more helpful. Babette, yeah, she's really, that's a nice family.
Yeah, well, it's a small world. And we also share an editor, Mr. Zackheim. We both worked for him.
Adrian?
Yeah.
You and I? Or
we work for him together, but we've both done work for him.
Yeah.
So all right, let's get down to the real reason you're here, which is not just to entertain me, but to talk about your book. What made you think, and I think correctly, that there was enough that had not been written about either Enchantment or that had not been broken down in a way that, you know, people in this, internet age could really absorb and put it to practice?
Well, there's two things that I have the advantage on. One is social media. So, you know, Dale Carnegie could not have written about Twitter in 1930. So I have the advantage of being able to write about Twitter and Facebook and blogging and email. So that's one thing. I wanted to have a book that was truly up to date with the technology. And the second thing is that I think many people have written books about influence and persuasion. I can show you a whole shelf full, but they take it from the standpoint of studying it as social psychology and analyzing it. And I do that, of course, but my orientation is tactical, which is, you don't need to become an expert in social psychology and the operation of this particular research. You just need to know that if you do this, you might get this. So if you there's a whole study about, If you give people too many choices in jams, they actually buy fewer bottles of jam. So, you know, you could spend pages and pages explaining that, or I could just tell you, listen, you know, on your website, you may think that more is better, but more might be less. So put up fewer choices. Don't confuse people. Let them just pick from a handful. You'll sell more stuff than before. And so my thing is purely tactical.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I admire about the way you've done these last two books, Enchantment and Reality Check, is I find some people have a real knack for breaking down things into their essence. You know, mm-hmm. whether it's you know, here's the five most important elements of this, yeah. Here's the 10, or here's the anecdote that really explains that. You do that really well. Some people don't do it. They would take 10 pages to do what you do in a page and a half.
I think, you know, maybe the influence of Twitter, you know, when I have to communicate my whole world in 140 characters, so I'm trained to be brief. And also I speak a lot, and I, you know, one thing I know for sure is the optimal size font on a PowerPoint slide is 30 points. So if you set your text to 30 points, there's not a hell of a lot of text you can type on a PowerPoint slide. And so all of this, the 140 character limit, the 30-point font limit, all of that is training me, you know, less is more.
Now, this book is a fraction of the size of Reality Check.
Yes.
Did it seem like a great breath of fresh air for you to come down? Because that isn't an... It's a great book. People haven't seen it. If you're in any business of any kind, you're going to find this book, Reality Check, extremely helpful. But, I mean, it's like a dictionary. It's big.
470 pages, yeah. Well, here, one second. I've got to go off camera again.
That's all right. We were all kind of curious what brand of printer you have there hanging on the shelf.
So, whoa, almost fell off. So this is, you know, obviously.
There we go. Look at this.
First of all, that's, you know, Enchantment is not 6x9. I wanted it to be a smaller, easier size. But then this is the difference in thickness.
Yeah.
So Reality Check is probably 2 times the thickness. Reality Check is sort of the Guy Kawasaki anthology. It's everything I've written that was, I thought, important at the time. And it took the best of my books, the best of my blogs, the best of everything, and just put it all together. Oh, my wife is paying us a visit.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, she didn't come to see me. She just picked up something on a printer. Yeah.
Nice
cameo appearance. Cameo appearance by Beth Kawasaki.
And now, folks, you know why I switched to video this year. You gotta love video. That was good.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. Lady walks into the picture, and all the guys' heads turn, and they lose their marbles. We were kind of talking about this was a smaller book. It's more focused on Enchantment.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create a classic a la How to Win Friends and Influence People. So How to Win Friends and Influence People is, you know, not that thick either. So I want this book to be not just for hardcore entrepreneurs and business people. I want this to be a manual for life. So it's a different goal there.
You get another thing I really like is you get a lot of people tell you their stories. And what I wondered is, yeah, are they coming to you telling you stories? Are you seeking them out? And my one of my favorite examples is the Mike Stevens story in Enchantment. This is the guy who bought a print shop in Fargo, North Dakota.
And his father helped him,
Well, he had to because he got like a day into it, right? And he realized, oh, my God, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. So what I did is I found that when I read articles in magazines, I often like the gray bar more than I like the article. And so I wanted to have the equivalent of a gray bar in Enchantment. And so I thought, you know, what would be a great gray bar? And it would be people's personal stories of Enchantment in their own words, not me describing them. So I blogged about this and I tweeted about this and I requested that people send their stories of personal Enchantment to me. And I got hundreds of stories. And of the hundreds, I picked 12 to put in at the end of the chapter. So in terms of like a food metaphor, this is just the chapter is the apple pie And the personal story is the scoop of vanilla ice cream.
All right, so note to self, get 300,000 followers on Twitter and then ask them to send in stories.
Well, yeah, just for accuracy, it's 400,000, but yeah.
Earlier, I thought it said three. I'm sorry.
Well, there's two accounts, but you know, even more accurately, the social media community, they provided personal stories. They provided examples. I would say, okay, so here's the principle. Can you think of an example of a company or a person or a product or, you know, something that illustrates this principle? So that's another thing they provided. And the third thing they provided is that right towards the end of the book, I sent out a call saying, I'd like to have beta testers. I need copy editing. I need content editing. So just send me your profile and, you know, I'll pick some copy editors and editors. And I got hundreds of requests, and I sent out about 60 copies. Actually, I sent out about 100 copies, and about 60 people actually provided me feedback to the manuscript.
Free.
So, yeah, for free. Yeah.
Wow. And that's amazing. And you also had sort of a contest to design the cover.
Yes, I had a contest. I'm just a social media whore. What can I tell you?
Well, and I think I want to take back what I said at the top of the show. I don't think you're doing any damn work at all. Folks, I think we need to take two, and we'll just start over from the top.
You know, the important thing is that you give the illusion of working hard. Not that you work hard. Jeez, get with it there, Bob.
Thank you, Doug Kawasaki Henning. Yes. It's the illusion. All right, so for people who still don't get enchantment, can you take one big example, like one big company example, and explain it, and then one small example that you found of you know, how it works?
Well, the biggest example and the easiest example is, of course, Apple. So
Apple? I'm sorry,
yeah,
Apple?
Yeah. Apple? This is a little startup in Cupertino.
Oh, those guys, okay.
So, you know, imagine most computer companies, right? They bludgeon you, they promote you, they sell to you, they do whatever they can so that you buy a laptop, right? So they're trying to close a transaction. By contrast, Apple enchants you. Apple sells you on this dream of coolness and productivity and creativity. So you buy a Macintosh laptop, and then you figure out, oh, I need to buy an iPhone, and then you buy an iPad. And then you start using iTunes, and you start using iBooks. And the next thing you know, you hear that Apple's going to release a new iPad tomorrow at 8 a.m. So midnight on the night before, you go out there, you camp in front of the store so you can be the first one. And so that's the difference between enchantment and sales.
You know, I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking of a really good example that a lot of people might know of someone who got enchanted by Apple, kind of late in the game. I was surprised. Howard Stern, the radio guy, I think the end of last year, early this year, he had resisted Apple his entire life, and then someone showed him an iPhone.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I think maybe he saw an iPad, and he started playing around with one, and then he started playing with one, I think, and then he got the other, and then he decided, how have I been missing this my whole life? And he threw out all the PCs. And he got everything Apple. He got laptops. He got desks. Now, of course, he has the money to do that. But it was. I thought it was interesting that the enchantment hit him 25 years late, but all at once. And now he's all in. You know, that's all he talks about.
Well, I have another thing to show you. Then let's see here.
Guy is very shy. That's why he keeps.
Yeah. So I have this sticker made. It says. Reluctance is futile. So that's the story. You know, eventually we'll get you.
Star Trek Classic or Star Trek Next Generation? What are we talking here?
Well, you know, that's resistance is futile. I didn't want to get any trademark issues.
All right. Now, what about a small outfit that, you know, most people wouldn't know, but that you found also gets enchantment in pretty much the same way that Apple does?
Well, a small outfit that gets you the way Apple does is kind of an oxymoron.
Well, not that gets you the way Apple does, but that just understands it. You know, like you've got so many examples of operations in here. Just, yeah. You know, something more modest that more people can relate to.
Well, Well, here, I'll give you a very good example. My daughter. My daughter's 9 years old. And so she has, you know, I swear she took a class from Bob Cialdini. So what she'll do is she'll say, Dad, you know, can we go to Cheeky Monkey, this local toy store? And whenever you go to Cheeky Monkey, that's like minimum $20, right? So, of course, I say no, being the good, hard-ass dad that I am. So then she comes right back and she says, well, then can we go get yogurt? So what she's done is she just played me. She said she made me feel guilty for saying no to a $20 toy run. So now how can I turn her down for a $4 yogurt run, right? So that's another very useful tool when you want to influence your father.
I can see that. You know, another way I would look at that as someone who sells books, writes and sells books, is I would say to her, well, Cheeky Monkey, I've got to sell 5 books to cover your trip to Cheeky Monkey. But going for yogurt, that's only 1 book royalty.
It's true. Yeah. But you are obviously getting a higher royalty from Adrian than I am.
I don't know what to say. I doubt it. Somehow I doubt it.
As soon as I hang up, I'm calling Adrian.
Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity now, because we're going to take a little break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with author Guy Kawasaki, whose latest book is Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. And we'll be right back after Guy calls his editor.
Hello, this is novelist Michael Connelly, and you're listening to Mr. Media.
Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with Guy Kawasaki, whose latest book is Enchantment, The Art of Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions. And Guy, so you've had 15 minutes with me now. What's it going to take to make Mr. Media a more enchanting mofo on the interwebs? Can it be done?
Well, that implies you need any improvement at all.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. I wish my wife was standing over my shoulder rolling her eyes, because it would be more apparent, I think.
Well, what is that thing standing over your shoulder?
Oh, over here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Space Ghost.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You're not wearing anything around your ankle, are you?
You mean a monitoring bracelet?
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan style? No, yeah. No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Do you think it would help?
Well, you know, you never know. New kinds of jewelry. So the pillars of enchantment, if you will, are likability, trustworthiness, and quality. So if you want to be more enchanting, you have to increase your likability, trustworthiness, and quality. So likability is all about your smile, your handshake, your dress, you know. So I think you got that. Your trustworthiness, from what I can gather, you're trustworthy. You know, so And your quality, you have good interviewees like me. Yeah, you got quality. So I think you're there, man. I mean, you know, rest on your laurels for a second.
All right. I guess I set it up and you knocked it out of the park. Or or if I could make the hockey remark, I guess you put it in the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to play to the audience you're given, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. So we were talking more seriously in the first half about enchantment. And, you know, since it seems like when talking to you, everything always comes around full circle to Apple. How has Apple maintained its ability to enchant for so long? I mean, you know, let's face it, it's not common for a company to enchant that much that long.
Well, the key to Apple, the essence of Apple, is of course Steve Jobs, and he's just, you know, a force that is beyond description. And so, one of the dangers of using Apple as an example for your life or for your business or for your book is that there is only one Apple, and Apple just defies everything. For example, everybody's telling the world you need to be open and transparent and engaged and social and all this kind of stuff, right? Let's think of a company that just personifies the total opposite of that, totally opaque, doesn't engage, not transparent. Apple!
I saw so, that one coming.
right. So you'd say, okay, so I want to be successful like Apple, so I will sue people who blog about us. I will, not tell anybody anything to the last minute. I will have a process that takes, between 4 to 6 weeks to get your app through the store. And you would definitely probably not succeed. So the danger with Apple is, you know, Apple is a different operating system. It has an awesome CEO that can defy gravity, that operates, has a different operating system than mere mortals. So there are lessons to learn from Apple, but don't go into Apple emulation mode, because the likelihood is that it'll kill you.
Well, okay, now I don't know if I would have put it that way, because the next thing I wanted to ask you, unfortunately,
does
Apple's enchantment disappear if something happens to Steve?
That is to be determined. One could make the case that Steve is the magic. You could also make the case, however, that he has injected so much DNA into that company that the DNA will live on forever. And, you know, I think Disneyland is just as good, and Disney World is just as good, and Walt Disney isn't around there anymore.
What?
And, yeah,
they got him encased in plastic somewhere. He's still running things with his Futurama mind.
He's not making decisions that I know of. So, and I don't think anybody knows. It's not obvious who takes over Apple if Steve leaves, or when he leaves, or whatever, you know, whatever happens. And I think it's very interesting that when they come and they have a big controversy like iPhone tracking your geolocation, Steve has to explain it, right? And when they introduce iCloud, Steve has to explain it. It's going to be a test of, well, who else can explain it? But having said that, I'll give you a totally unscientific, perhaps irrational argument. As an Apple former employee, as an Apple customer, as a, you know, arguably I was a pope in the Macintosh religion.
I think that's true.
I would say that I believe in God, and one of the reasons why I believe in God is that there is no other explanation for Apple's continued survival than the existence of a benevolent God. So, Apple customers are not atheists. So, God will look out for Apple, and it'll go on.
I think I heard this morning when I was walking the dogs, I was listening to the 1 minute from Tech. I can't even think of what it's called now. But anyway, online, the 1 minute Tech update headlines that Apple is now worth the equivalent of Microsoft, HP, and Dell combined. I mean, did you ever think that would happen? Yeah, that's what they said. The market cap is it's phenomenal. It's absolutely.
I am so stupid. You know, I worked at Apple twice. If I had stayed either time, not even from the first time, even if I had stayed from the second time, I would have made so much money. But no, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't want to be a Fortune 500 wage slave. I should have just sucked it up and shut up and, you know, put my time in. And man.
And look at all you've done for them since. I mean, it's, you know,
I haven't done anything for them since.
I don't think that's true.
Like,
seriously.
What do you think I've done for Apple recently?
You know, you're seen as associated with them. I mean, I said that kiddingly in the introduction, but I think people associate you with the brand, even this many years apart, even though you're not on the payroll. You're still a guy who says good things about them. You kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just my perception, but I think that you continue to be very good for the Apple brand, even though you're not with Apple.
I don't think they think so, but...
Well, you know, some places don't always know what's good for them, you know, when it's good.
Yeah,
for them.
Well, you know.
Well, let's do a little gadget chat, and this, okay. This from this we'll probably move away from Apple, but the iPad 2, it's out
yes.
there. Is it everything it can be, or do you look at it and go, you know, here's some things that I would put on iPad 3?
Absolutely, I would change some things in the iPad 3. First of all, I think that not having an SD card reader built in is just insane. I have a MacBook Pro, and that's one of the most useful things that, you know, I don't have to find any doohickeys, no cables, no nothing. I just shove it in the side. So that is an absolute no-brainer. That should be there. Second thing is, I think the equivalent of the Finder in the iPad, it's getting kind of old and tired, right? So before it was cool, and you know, you flip it, and you see the icon, you click the icon and all that, but... Like, I have so many apps, I have so many screens, I have so many folders. I need a, you know how there's preferences in the Finder where you can say, well, you see it with icon and name, you just see it with icon, you just see name. I would like to just list everything with that folder view that has just all the names so that, you know, I don't need to see the big icon anymore. I need a more efficient way to, I need preferences for the Finder, if you will. I want to have small icons or big icons. I want to have no icons, just text. I think that should be changed. So there are some things like that. Okay. But generally speaking, I have an iPhone, iPad, and MacBook, and I use three every day. I probably use the phone the least. I read at least an hour or two every day on the iPad. In fact, I sleep with my iPad. In the middle of the night, I check my email and I check Twitter and Facebook quite often. I just wake up and say, oh, let's just check what's happening.
Oh my God. You're so sad.
I know.
Oh my God.
I'm sad. I know, I'm pathetic.
Oh my God. Well, do you see any of the tablets that have come out? Any of them, I don't know if you look at them seriously, any of them seem like they can compete now or in the long run?
I've read some comparisons that, you know, some have much better cameras, some have higher screen resolution. I have not played with any of them. I think that 4G should be part of iPad pretty soon. If iPad 3 had 4G with an SD card reader built in, as I said, you know, having more of sort of a customizable Finder, I would be quite happy. But in general, it's completely changed my reading habits. I've read more books because of iPad than any other factor ever. I mean, I used to read, my reading habits were whenever I'd go on a trip, I would take one novel with me. And so on the way out of SFO, I would stop in the bookstore and buy a book every time. And now, you know, if I finish reading a book at 10 p.m., 10:15, I'm reading a new book. And this is, so I'm continuously reading. I read every night now. I never used to do that before. I've read more novels in the past year than ever, and it's because of iPad.
And what online bookstore do you use? Do you use the iBook store, or do you use like the Kindle store?
I use both because they, you know, they both have different books. So I consume a lot of books, and I never read nonfiction. I only read novels, and I only read the kind of novels. I'm like, my typical novel is retired Navy SEAL's wife and daughter gets killed. The president calls him up and says, you know, the FBI is clueless. The CIA is, you know, just useless these days. I'm creating a special presidential task force. Here's your pardon in advance. You don't have to pay attention to any rules, any due process, anything. Just kill the bad guys. That's my typical book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so do you think that the Kindle can survive the iPad?
Well, it certainly seems to. I mean, whenever I fly, I see a lot of people reading Kindles. I kind of look at them and say, oh, you poor thing. I mean, don't you realize this is not a monochromatic world? But you know, I see a lot of people reading it. You know, it's smaller, it's cheaper. It truly is a dedicated reader, right? Whereas an iPad is sort of, for me, it's 90% read, but boy, I do a lot. You know, I use it for email and Twitter and Facebook a lot too. So it's multi-purpose for me. Okay. I don't think I could go on a trip with just an iPad because I have to generate too much content. But, you know, knock on wood, the day comes where so many people have bought Enchantment that I don't have to write anymore, then I will travel with just an iPad.
All right. Well, we're trying to do our part to help you sell a few more.
I hope so. I have a way to help for you to help me sell more books.
Okay.
So I have a special promotion going on right now, where if you buy a copy of Enchantment anywhere in the world, any form in the world, well, except if you know if you're at an intersection in Mumbai and some kid walks up to you with 75 cents, here's a copy of Enchantment. That doesn't qualify. Okay.
Anything but that.
Yeah, anything but that. I'll give you a free copy of Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds, which is one of the best books ever written about how to make a great presentation, an enchanting presentation. So you just have to provide me proof of purchase, and then we'll give you a little key to unlock an ebook version of Presentation Zen. A great summer reading deal, right? You get Enchantment and Presentation Zen. You will be a much more enchanting person if you read both books.
There you go, folks. And then last thing, what's next? Do you have another book that you're working on, or there?
You know, I have no books working right now. Enchantment came out in the first week of March, so it's April, May, June. You know, it's 3 months ago. So what you just asked me, it's the equivalent of, let's say you go up to a woman with a three-month-old baby, and you say to her, you know, when are you going to have another baby? And this woman is thinking, yeah, I went through 36 hours where my vagina was stretched to the back of my neck, and... And, you know,
tore the shred
out of my inside. My baby's not sleeping at night. She's waking up five times a night. You know, my breasts hurt from breastfeeding. And now, Bob, you're coming up to me saying, why don't you have another baby right now?
Oh my God.
That's what you just asked me.
Oh, my God. Oh, I think that's his way of saying, get out. So, folks, listen. You can find Guy Kawasaki's latest book, Enchantment, The Art of... Changing Hearts, Minds, and Actions, as well as my previous favorite, Reality Check, in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. Remember, if you can show him some proof, you can get a copy of Presentation Zen, right?
Yes. Okay. I'll send you a link to
post the link.
Bill. Okay.
That would be great. And, of course, you can find Guy all over the web. Garage Technology Ventures is garage.com. Or check out his media headlines engine, alltop.com, which includes Mr. Media Headlines. And, of course, there is good old GuyKawasaki.com. Oh, but wait.
And Twitter.
I'm coming to that guy. I'm coming to that. You know, it's a long list with you.
Yeah, it is.
There's his YouTube channel. There's his Twitter page. There's his Facebook page. And Enchantment has its own Facebook page. And, of course, I'll get this in, don't forget his American Express blog at openforum.com. Did I cover all of them?
You did a good job.
All right. Well, Guy Kawasaki, pleasure to have you back. Always a joy, and love to have you back anytime.
Thank you. Take care.
My pleasure. You too. Thanks, Guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, folks. This is comedian Mark Maron, and what the fuck? Why are you listening to Mr. Media Radio?
Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it. It's free. Takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Mark Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code MrMedia, MRMedia, when you register. And thanks for listening.